It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Friday, March 15th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. KCAW's Catherine Rose wraps up her assignment in Japan, where she's been looking into the industry and culture of herring. Over the course of her travels, Rose has followed herring from the ocean to the auction floor, and now to her plate at a local sushi restaurant, where she learns that most herring egg sushi in Japan, when you can find it, uses Alaskan fish.
This is KCAW reporter Catherine Rose, and right now I am sitting at a lively sushi bar in Otaru. That's in western Hokkaido. It's an 8-seat bar, and it is packed with regulars right now, enjoying an omakase experience from Chef Kodai Sanada, while 80s pop music plays in the background. I have watched herring in Otaru make it from the ocean to the auction floor this week, and right now I am hoping to see it on a plate. At the fish auction in Otaru, I actually spoke with a processor who says he buys 2 boxes of Sitka herring every year. And he does that because it's smaller than Hokkaido herring, so the eggs, he says, are the right size for sushi. So is that what most Sitka herring is being used for now? Chef Sanada says, yes, 80 to 90% of herring egg sushi in Japan is from Alaska. If you can find it, that is. He says it's not that popular.
And the sushi chef around here used to use the flavored, you know, kazunoko to make the sushi. But soon they realized that kazunoko, you know, didn't go well with the vinaigrette rice because, you know, the kazunoko had a firm texture, crunchy texture. In the meantime, the rice is softer. So when you, you know, put the kazunoko sushi into the mouth, it doesn't mix well. So that, you know, people stop making the kazunoko sushi here in Otaru.
Chef Sanada tells me that I might be able to find it at a more family-friendly sushi restaurant. But nevertheless, he serves us some herring eggs, minus the rice, on a piece of seaweed with some bonito flakes sprinkled on top. And he follows that with some sashimi made with a male herring fillet that was caught in Hokkaido this week.
That was KCAW's Catherine Rose reporting from a sushi restaurant in the city of Otaru in the Hokkaido region of Japan. Throughout this series, you've heard the term kazunoko, which is the Japanese word for skeins of herring eggs, or as it's called in Alaska's herring fisheries, sakro. Rose's trip has been a project of KCAW and the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. You can see photos on our website, kcaw.org. We'll hear more detailed reports from Catherine Rose on the Japanese herring industry in the coming weeks. The housing squeeze in Sitka will improve a little next year, thanks to a big shot of funding from the federal government. The Sitka Community Land Trust has won a grant from U.S. Housing and Urban Development for the construction of a 4-unit apartment building in its existing cottage neighborhood. Work should be completed in 2025. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
There's a lot to be said for having the right project at the right time. During a Senate recess in February, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski visited Southeast Alaska. Weather prevented her from coming to Sitka, but in a call to KCAW, she said that she was hearing a message from Alaskans.
Everywhere I go is housing, 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 and then throw in some childcare and then more housing.
Fast forward to the middle of March, and Randy Huey, executive director of the Sitka Community Land Trust, opens an email from Washington, D.C.
I sat down, I sort of teared up and read it again and went, we got it, you know, showed it to Carol, you know, handed her the phone, read this. Yeah, it was quite emotional. I was very, very surprised and really happy.
The email informed Huey that the land trust had been awarded just over $2 million to construct a 4-unit apartment complex. Not partial funding, not a matching grant, the full amount. Huey believes the Sitka Community Land Trust was well-positioned to benefit from government support, Planning for the project was well underway in the organization's existing cottage neighborhood on Halibut Point Road.
It's been our plan for a long time, and we've subdivided off the westernmost end of the property. So it's outside of the, you know, the homeowners association and et cetera, and have created the space for the building to fit. And we're actually have already hired an architectural firm, an engineering firm, an environmental firm. We're doing all of the work to get ready for this building long before we actually had the money. So it's an awfully sweet thing to have the actual construction funding come at such a time.
Huey said that prior to receiving the funding, he outlined the project in a 5-minute phone conversation with the senator herself, followed by a much longer call with a Senate aide where he could go into more detail. Each apartment will be 2 bedrooms, 825 square feet, roughly the same size as the smallest standalone cottage in the neighborhood, and per the Land Trust mission, they'll rent at below market rates. Huey says everyone on the applicant list for cottage housing in the Land Trust will automatically be placed on the list for the apartments when they become available. Funding from the Denali Commission has covered planning and design expenses, as well as site preparation and utility installation. Huey thinks it could be up to a year for the HUD money to arrive, which would allow for construction in the spring of 25. Huey says the funding is about far more than creating 4 more apartments in Sitka. It's about sustaining the Sitka Community Land Trust itself, which has grown principally on the work of volunteers and semi-retired staff like himself.
That's not a way that an organization can continue in the future. There has to be, a certain number of staff members, all of whom make a living wage to work. And this apartment is a really big step in that direction.
The Land Trust has used the same builder for all of its existing cottages. Huey says that in the interest of fairness, the construction of the fourplex will be put out to bid. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Sitka-based Silver Bay Seafoods will be acquiring Trident Seafoods processing plant in Ketchikan. The joint announcement from the two companies comes less than a week after Trident, one of the largest seafood processing companies in the country, announced that they were finalizing sales for 3 of the 4 plants it listed for sale late last year. KRBD's Jack Darrell has more.
The deal between the two companies is expected to be completed in April, pending final negotiations. Spokespeople for the two companies declined to comment until the deal closes next month. Trident's Ketchikan plant was the company's largest operation in Southeast and was entirely dedicated to processing salmon. Silver Bay Seafoods is one of the largest processors of whitefish, salmon, herring, and squid in the state of Alaska, operating out of 6 plants in Sitka, Craig, Valdez, Kodiak, and Bristol Bay, with 3 more in the lower 48. The company's business model caters largely to the seine fleet, which has other gear groups in Ketchikan asking what the future may hold for them. Cody Cowan, a Ketchikan-based troll fisherman, says he fished for Trident until the company largely stopped buying troll-caught fish. Now, he says there's only one buyer for his catch in Ketchikan. He hopes having a new processor in the community could change that.
Are you going to engage in buying troll fish? That's the number one. Our biggest hope is due to the fact that there is no competition, basically, buying troll fish out of Ketchikan, and it keeps the dock price low. Everybody knows it. The plants know it. The fishermen know it.
In a news release, Silver Bay's CEO, Cora Campbell, said that the facility will be open for the 2024 salmon season in Southeast Alaska. There's no mention of whether Silver Bay will expand its Ketchikan operations beyond salmon. Neither is there any information on how much of Trident's existing workforce will be retained, or who the buyers are for the other sold plants in Petersburg and False Pass. Silver Bay Seafoods says it's primarily fisherman-owned. The company website says that 600 fishermen shareholders supply 80% of the company's product. Both Trident and Silver Bay said they'll work with their fleets and those affected over the coming weeks to provide more details. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
Juneau is considering moving a campground primarily used by people experiencing homelessness following an escalation of reported illegal activities there last summer. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says moving the campground next to the city's indoor cold weather shelter would make it easier to provide maintenance and emergency services to campers and ease the campground's impact on nearby neighborhoods. At a recent committee meeting, the Assembly unanimously agreed to move forward with the plan and take public comment on it next month. If approved, the new location would open to campers in mid to late April. For many years, the city has run the Mill Campground, a place where people can camp free of charge between April and October. It's located south of downtown, underneath the Gold Belt Trams path. The new location would move campers further south on Thane Road and further away from residential neighborhoods downtown, but they would still be near many commercial businesses. Barr cited issues like drug use, vandalism and break-ins, and transactional sex as some of the reported criminal activities to be happening at the campground. Assemblymember Michelle Bonnet-Hale says Juneau is not alone in its struggle to meet the needs of people experiencing homelessness in the community. This winter, the Cold Weather Emergency Center has seen between 40 to 50 patrons each night. Currently, it costs the city about $70,000 each year to operate the campground during the summer. Most of the cost comes from cleanup and garbage removal at the site. Barr says it would cost about $110,000 to move the campground to the new location. He says the city does not plan to provide transportation between the new location and downtown if it is approved. The new site would have 19 platforms for campers to pitch tents. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.